some people sometimes, but you can't fool all the people all the time. So now we see the light.
What you gonna
we gonna stand up for?
Yeah, yeah.
So you better get up, stand up
in the morning.
Get it up, stand up for your right.
Stand up right now.
Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Don't give it up. Don't give it up.
Get up, stand up.
Get up, stand up.
Stand up for your right.
Others have been serving food in St. James Park in San Jose for what, the last 2 years or so?
Yeah, we've been there over a year. Food Not Bombs, our group in Food Not Bombs, but Food Not Bombs in San Jose has been going for several years.
And we're listening to Charlie of San Jose Food Not Bombs, an interview made about two and a half weeks ago.
Yes, we've been serving consistently for over a year in St. James, year and a half.
And also, some of the folks associated with Food Not Bombs have been publishing the zine, or I don't know what you call it, bi-monthly, who knows, occasional Mob Rule, right?
Yeah.
Mob Rule is a publication concerned with gentrification and police misconduct. Is that accurate? Or
that pretty much is it, because like, gentrification, you know, like the dual prongs of gentrification seem to be jacking up the cost of living in the form of like rents, and moving in more high-class restaurants into the area, and expensive tastes, and then police harassment. Between the police harassment and high rents, the low-income people are compelled to, in the eyes of the establishment, hopefully leave San Jose. So that's what we're fighting. And they're inundating the downtown with this ideology, right? And one of the themes in Mob Rule that Mob Rule deals with is the street versus the home, like the home as a principle of the city versus an indoor private life versus the street as a principle of the city, something that is like sensual and non-monogamous, where people come and congregate and, you know, the crowd forms. So, and then historically, the attitude to the street has been a derogatory one, because there's always been this latent fear on the part of the upper classes of crowds becoming mobs and assuming power within the city, mm-hmm. members.
In other words, power returning to the people from whence it came, right?
What was that? Power returning?
Power returning to the people from whence it came.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I know we've talked to you in the past, and there's been, of course, occasional police crackdowns on Food Not Bombs, or let's say harassment of Food Not Bombs, serving in St. James Park after other social services were kind of evicted from the downtown area through such devices as, well, social services isn't quite the word, but let's say opportunities for people to congregate, socialize, and even seek support, such as the new anti-homeless sitting ban laws that were passed a year and a half ago in the downtown area, making sitting a misdemeanor in a 66 square area, an area of 66 blocks, I should say. The essential gentrification of the Cesar Chavez Park several years ago, where Food Not Bombs used to serve, right?
Yeah.
And I guess there was also, you were concerned about the incarceration of one of the older women who was sort of a guiding light to many folks in St. James Park. Do you have any update on that situation?
Well, she's still in jail, and we've visited her a couple times.
What's her name?
Her name is Mama Faye.
Uh-huh.
And she's still in custody, and,
what's she charged with?
She's charged with, prostitution and being drunk in public.
And how long, you say they grabbed her in January, so now it's August.
February.
What's that?
February.
February. Isn't that sort of a long time for... I mean, was she convicted, or is she still being held pending trial? What's her sentence?
She's convicted, but she, because of her, because they say she's mentally incompetent. Well, first of all, the charges of prostitution and being drunk in public. Everyone who's ever known her, everyone in the park, just laughs at that, and they know it doesn't hold any water because Mama Faye never drank. She smoked pot and she smoked cigarettes, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Ever drank, and she was like a Christian too.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody laughed at the fact that she got arrested for drinking in public. And then also, she was a really old woman, and she wasn't a prostitute.
She's a woman of color, right?
Yeah, she's African American. Mm-hmm. And so the charges we feel they're just trumped up. And but now that she's been in jail for a while, she's like before when she was in the park, she was pretty mentally coherent and everything. But now that she's been in jail, she's been suffering because they have her in red in Elmwood, and so she's in lockdown. And she's been suffering, and she is very isolated, and she's worse than she ever was before. And they say they need to keep her in jail because she's mentally incompetent, so that's going to be for an indefinite period of time, and they can legally do that.
Have they actually put her under a conservatorship?
A conservatorship?
A conservatorship is the only legal process by which they can really hold her indefinitely in jail. Interestingly enough, in my last show, I did an interview with our psychiatric advocate ombudsperson here, a guy who, you know, he's paid to be the sort of public defender of people accused of psychiatric misdeeds or, you know, having psychiatric conditions that would make them subject to incarceration or forced drugging. And he talked to us about the rights of psychiatric patients and so forth. And there's really a very specific series of rights under California law.
What was his name?
His name was George Cavallo, and he actually will be on our show again on Thursday. You're going to be on...
Phone number?
His phone number is 429-1913. That's his phone number during the week. That's the Ombudsman Advocate Office. I think they call it the Ombudsperson Advocate Office, the Ombudsman, whatever it is. In any case, these are people who, if you're locked up in a psych ward, are supposed to advise you of your rights and be present at hearings called Reese hearings, where you want to, let's say, refuse forced medication, or CERT hearings, which are hearings where you're seeking to get out and get out from under a 72-hour hold or a 14-day hold, or a temporary conservatorship, and you have a right to a trial before you get conserved, like a jury trial. And they can conserve you like for a month, but they sure as hell can't hold you for 8 months unless you don't know your rights. So it could be that Mama Faye,
yeah,
is being held illegally, as is not infrequently the case. Unless you know your rights and assert them, you know, they, as they say on the button, ignore your rights and they go away. So, yeah, you might give him a call. That's an area code 831 for you guys over there in area code 408. And he won't be available till Monday, but then you can call him. But there probably is a more local San Jose psychiatric ombudsperson you can call. And I'll talk to you more about that. I'm concerned about that, but I also want to, you know, kind of update listeners on what's been happening in San Jose. I know the last time I was over there, you guys had made a very visible presence in the park, and I guess there it had a sort of a brie and cheese event over there for the, not just the hoity-toity, it was quite a mix of the city.
Listen to the Horace Mann Association, which is the crime watch for the St. James Park area.
This is a group, they want to gentrify the park?
Yeah, they're behind the police, they support the police. Many of the people who are part of this crime watch group are property owners, and they feel that the homeless are bringing down their property values, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's their interest and the reason why they're involved. But anyway, they held a, when National Night Out happened on August, I think, what was that, August
4th or something? I don't know. I saw it on the internet, but it didn't really happen here in Santa Cruz. At least we weren't informed about it.
Yeah. It was basically, you know, the police come out and they barbecue hot dogs with
August 4th protest, National Night Out.
And yeah, we had a march. We met at Cesar Chavez, and there's about 8 people who showed up, mm-hmm, marched down through the downtown and to the 7-Eleven where they're having the barbecue. And we had all these signs and stuff, and we disrupted their barbecue. And we had more people against the police and against the National Night Out BS than there were people fraternizing with the police. Helping to create the illusion of like public support for the harassment and, you know, the brutality that's been going on.
Now, you guys are not against police investigating things like rapes, murders, and assaults. I take it you are.
That's what they should be doing, but what they do is they use the violent crime as a pretext. Like whenever an incident like that happens or something, they use it as a pretext to come out and go after everyone for the smallest things, like having a shopping cart, you know, taking a shopping cart. Like, I guess sometimes when these things happen, like, people throw money to the police and you have more cops, but the cops don't do anything constructive. They just rat and chase them.
Food Not Bombs has been serving, what, once weekly or twice weekly in St. James Park?
Yeah. We've been serving, last year we were serving twice a week, but this year we're supposed to serve once a week.
And you're going to be serving today versus Saturday when we're doing this interview, August 29th. And when folks want to come to the Food Not Bombs feeding and volunteer to help or volunteer to eat or volunteer to observe, what time does that usually happen, and is there a phone number that you can be reached at?
It would be 408 to leave messages, 257-9424.
Well, 408-257-9424.
Leave a message there. And you can meet us in the park. You can go to St. James and talk to us for Tina or Norman. You can talk to them and they'll hook you up with the Food Not Bombs.
That usually happens around what time?
Park all the time.
But that's all the time?
Yeah, pretty much every day. And one of the things we've been doing, we got a camera now in the park filming the police every single day for the last 2 weeks.
Wow, that's impressive.
Trying to document all this harassment and shit. It's systematic, you know.
Is there a group that does that call? Like, we had one in Santa Cruz.
We have a cop watch out here. They mostly work on Santa Clara Street, so we're working with them, and now we're doing St. James too. And we also have been attending the planning meetings of redevelopment of St. James, you know. And the last one we were at, at the meetings, right? They wanted this like pseudo public input, and we had more. There's more homeless, more low income people there. Trying to defend the park, you know, and stop like tennis courts and all this other BS from being built in there. Then there were Crime Watch and deputy people there. But we were well represented at these meetings, you know, and we were the majority at all the hearings we've had so far. So it would be interesting to see what they're going to do is from the input they receive from the public, they're going to synthesize it and then come up with a plan for the park. It's interesting to see what they'll come up with.
That's a creative challenge to come up with some kind of counter-development proposal that would actually expand opportunities for low-income and homeless people in the park. I mean, I imagine there are things that could do that. I'm not... Usually, you know, one is in the position of fighting.
They wanted the police out of the park. That was one of the demands. The other thing were, like, pretty much people felt they just didn't want development. They were happy with the way the park is. They just wanted the police out so people could do the things that they do right now.
Maybe to refunnel funding from, expensive redevelopment schemes to, let's say, basic shelter services and drug treatment services for those who want them.
That, you know, asking was that they're going to spend $1.2 million in the park, and that money doesn't need to be spent, and it could be given to putting in whatever, they could give it to the homeless or do something.
The Food Not Bombs could feed much more regularly if they had more donations, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I understand there are a lot of feeding services around the park other than Food Not Bombs, that they may not be in the park directly.
At that meeting that we were at, the last meeting we were at with the Parks and Recreation, as we were leaving, my friend Lennox, he was approached by someone from the Downtown Association, mm-hmm. and they gave us like a Downtown Association, the Chamber of Commerce for San Jose, and they told us, they gave us like a final warning, and they said like, you guys are not going to serve in the park anymore. And evidently, and then when we, and they said that, well, backtracking a little bit, when we were complaining to the Parks and Recreation about getting the police harassment out, they separated that issue from development, and they said that the Parks and Recreation handles development, but they don't handle police procedure. And the people to go to on that, they told us, was the Downtown Association, the department.
They're the ones who run the...
police, evidently. And so, like, they're in charge of police procedure in the park, St. James. And they told us just the other week that we're not going to be serving there anymore. And this is their final ultimatum.
I see. Who told you this?
It was one of the directors. Or, well, not a director. I think it was, she's like the secretary.
We should ask her to put it in writing so you can have a clear...
Scott Meese. I
know we have videotapes of that day in the park where there was this big, I guess it was called Concert on the Green or whatever it was.
Association put that on.
That the Downtown Association put on.
The idea there is, that is the broken window theory, and that was the idea that if, if you start using the park for positive things, as if what we protested about that was that the park has, there's been positive activities going on all the time in St. James Park without, you know, Downtown Association intervening. They're not doing anything new out there. But they think they have this broken window theory that if you do something positive in an area, then the bad people are going to be compelled to leave when you start using it for positive uses.
What's the effect then of the...
So that's how that music in the other park worked.
Yes.
It was supposed to be like the first good thing that happened in St. James Park in a long time, but that's not true. St. James Park is really important because what it is the homeless are coming up with their own solutions for what the shelters and the government out here isn't able to give, like emotional support. If you lose a home or you just get out of jail, you don't have a place to go, you can go to the park and you can find a community, and you can find people who will let you into their camps, and you can have a place to live, and you can find people who are going to be friends, you know, and you can even, you know, find lovers and things like that, and you don't find those things in the shelters, and the shelters are very institutional. And Cynthia's Park is like a family, everyone knows each other, you can find a family to live with, and that's what you do, even though they're not blood related.
You're still tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM.
Okay, well, speaking of living situations, in Santa Cruz and many other cities, it's illegal to sleep in vehicles or in any public spaces. What's the situation in San Jose, which I want to remind listeners is the largest Northern California urban city? That it is bigger than San Francisco, bigger than Oakland, it is the hugest city now in Northern California.
But in terms of land?
In terms of population.
Population?
I believe so. You have 800,000 people in San Jose.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I guess more and more people are coming in, and the things that we're facing is this demographic change, and new residents who are moving into the downtown. The city of San Jose is putting a moratorium on outside development on the periphery. So they're not building new suburbs, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to get the people who have money to move back into the urban center, and it's their infill policy. And the effect of this is the housing shortage. It creates a housing shortage. The real estate just skyrocket. The landlords want to evict the present renters so they can up the rents, or get rid of people altogether and then sell it. And these new residents, quote unquote, that's what the Downtown Association calls them. These the middle class computer professionals coming. They got the money and they're willing to spend it. And then when they move in, they don't like the downtown because there's still a lot of underclass people who are living there. And more people are trying to fit in very small, you know, rooms and houses to live. And I know a family that's living in a chicken coop in the downtown, and they're paying $100 a month to live there.
Now, what about folks who don't have any place to live, but live instead on the streets or in vehicles? What's the situation with them? How are they doing?
People living in vehicles, you're not supposed to. If the police find you in a vehicle and you're living in it, they'll tow your vehicle. If you don't have money, you lose it.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I lived with a friend. A little while in her trailer. She let me live in her trailer, and that was parked on the street, and the cops came by one night, and they did, in this neighborhood, they went through the whole neighborhood, and they towed everyone who's living in their trailers, or in their car, and that woman, she lost her trailer that night. They came to her. They knew that there's people like me, a couple other people staying there, and they kicked us out, and they busted open the door, first of all. They kicked us out, and then they took the trailer, and it was towed, and none of us had any money, so we weren't able to get it out, so she lost it.
Now, what about the situation for people who are just completely on the streets, one might say, some of whom may be alcoholics, some of whom are just, you know, are alternate lifestyle, some of whom...
Yeah, it depends,
disabled.
Like, it's part of age, you know, and like the older people, they're like hating life a lot more, and, some of the older people, like people who are senior citizens or who are in like 50s around there, they don't have really crews to hang out with, or they've lost their minds, you know. And those people like sleep wherever they can lay their head.
Now, what happens to them? Do the police round them up? Do they ignore them? What do they do?
I guess. Well, it seems like it depends on like the time of month for the police, and it depends on like I guess their arrest. It seems like quotas or something. They're trying to fill this. A lot of times they'll like, nothing will happen for like a month or a couple months, and then all of a sudden there'll be this crackdown on all the squats, all the drinking areas, all the places that they know will sleep, you know,
mm-hmm.
happen all in the same week. It'll just be like a total blitzkrieg, like a total raid everywhere throughout the city, and then it'll be quiet again. couple ones, but it happens periodically enough to keep people like either on their toes or off balance.
Earlier this year, the Homeless Alliance, the San Jose Community Homeless Alliance Ministry, put people up in a church. They persuaded themselves to be removed from the downtown to the outskirts, but then they returned, I guess it was in the late spring, and they demanded that the city find shelter for the families that they've been sheltering through the winter. Do you know what's happened with them?
Yeah, evidently. I think this, what happened is the city made some kind of promise to them about getting them, getting everybody housing in the group, through the housing authority, and they've reneged on their promise. I guess it was like a verbal agreement, something on paper.
And has the response of the Community Homeless Alliance Ministry been to renew protests? They were talking about a sit-in and...
Not at the moment. They're still in negotiations. What they're doing now is like a car wash. But they're staying at the church. Everybody who's still in that program are back at the church.
That was the subject of some...
As last year, the city was getting on the... was making a big fuss about people living in a church, violating... City codes.
They prefer they live.
Now they're not saying anything. I guess they prefer to have people in the church than fork over money from redevelopment to housing.
I never thought they'd keep their word, frankly, but
no.
I was considered to be a cynic in those.
Development monies are supposed to go to housing in San Jose.
And of course, the Community Housing Alliance Ministry, what they meet every Sunday, for those who want to check them out at what?
We're on
50 North 1st or so.
Yeah.
80 North 5th Street, or is it South 5th Street?
North
5th Street, yeah, for those who are interested. And that's Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon? Or
That's Sunday at 12 noon.
Sunday at noon, for those who want to check out the Community Homeless Alliance Ministry.
They have their feeding.
And they have a feeding. And now, Funa Bomb's been reduced to one day a week. Does that mean you guys, it sounds like you're doing more organizing and more watching and so forth?
Yeah, we're doing a lot of more organizing. And one of the cool things that are going on is, like, the homeless, in response to police harassment and just the very... difficult existence that the city creates, they're forming their own station, their own political defense group. And the St. James Park, there was a committee started there, I think this last spring. Then there was a group of homeless on Santa Clara Avenue who also formed their own group. Now the two groups merged and they formed Homeless Help and the Homeless.
Is there a number they can be reached at, or an address, or an email, or anything of that sort?
I guess you could call Food Not Bombs, talk to Lennox, but...
And do they have a time that they
meet? We're in communication with them and everything, but they don't have right now a mailbox or any way of contacting them, unless you're in San Jose and you're on the street and you know who to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
You can go, I guess you can go to St. James Park and you can ask around for, let's see, you could ask for Margaret, or you could ask for those people might be able to hook you up.
Names again are Margaret and...
Margaret, Chuck, yes, for Luna.
Margaret, Chuck, Luna at St. James Park. Are those interested in the organization Homeless Helping Homeless?
Their own formal organization. Beautiful defense group. They're trying to unite the homeless, it's like a homeless union kind of thing.
They have had successful homeless unions in the past in San Jose.
Not the center that's like non-institutionalized. A lot of the homeless, they won't go, they're sick of the shelters and all that, because there's all these rules, and people are scared of being turned in by the police if they have warrants and things like that. So they're forming their own group that can provide a place for people to stay, but not have to worry about the police coming after them or these bourgeois rules.
Speaking of the bourgeois, what's the ACLU doing to help out in terms of violations of civil rights of homeless people, or are they doing anything?
Well, I guess they're kind of overloaded. We haven't heard anything from the ACLU, but I guess we need to approach them. What we want to do, though, is, we need to document all this, because I've talked to lawyers myself about any cases, concrete cases, like evidence, and if we have things on film, people getting beat up, the people in the park a couple weeks ago, a guy was stunned and for having a beer, and he didn't attack the police. He just refused to empty his beer when they wanted him to, and then they stun gunned him twice.
Wow.
So things like that, this excessive force or testing.
And was this caught on film?
Huh?
Was it caught on film?
Yeah, but that was before we got, after that we got the camera out.
Now, what's the situation been in the last 2 weeks in the park with the video on the watch?
So nothing really spectacular. Police, every day the police come through, so that's on film. That's just police are going out there every day and looking for things to bust people for. And if they can't find something halfway, real going on, they'll make things up, and they'll, bust people for having a shopping cart in the park, or they'll bust people for even bringing blankets into the park, or taking a nap. Get a ticket for that.
Really? What's the actual ordinance you're violating if you take a nap in the park?
Camping.
Oh, sounds familiar.
So
we have a night coming up tonight against our own Santa Cruz sleeping and blanket bans called Don't Sleep Tonight Night. That'll be on the 31st when we're encouraging people to stay awake at night in solidarity with the Santa Cruz homeless. Anyway, go ahead.
Hey, one thing I guess we got on film, besides just the ordinary, he's coming in every day and doing the patrol or the sweep, is we got a picture of one sweep where there was all the mountain bike cops. Came out on the mountain bikes, and they were doing group training, and there was about 30, close to 40, about 37 that came in at once.
37 officers on the bike?
Yeah. This awesome array of police force, and they patrolled around the park, through the park a couple times. This big group, it looked like a sea of fish coming into the park, or maybe a sea of a school of sharks.
School of sharks.
They orbited the park several times and they left. It was just an awesome, kind of really scary, swarm. And we got that on film. But the other stuff is just cops, individual cops or cops vehicles that go in the park and they go from group to group looking for open containers or things that they can, different things, whatever they can find to write up a ticket before they leave.
Have they been successful in deterring people from coming to the park?
Yeah, there's people who don't want to go to St. James anymore because they know if they go there, they feel it's a bust. And if they go there, they're going to get busted for something and they want to stay away from the police. But we have some friends who used to go there all the time. They're like the old timers of the park and they don't go there anymore. But we have a friend whose name is John, and I don't want to give his last name. And he's staying in a safe house right now. But he used to go to the park all the time, and he was a guitarist. He played his guitar for the people, and he was really entertaining and fun to listen to. And they got him on. He's got a couple warrants, so he doesn't go to the park anymore. We have another friend who they said they were going to put him on a restraining order, and they were busting him all the time for his dog not having a leash on it. He was intimidated and left the park. Living in a garage, but he won't come back. He's an old timer, or not an old man, but he used to go there all the time. There's only really one person who's consistently been there the last two or three years, and her name's Spike, kind of one of the last. Mama Faye used to be an old timer who'd hang out there every day, and she's in jail right now.
I'm in the psych ward, then. Which is it?
And that was right after she got all that publicity in the Metro. She got arrested.
Which you think is connected to the publicity, right?
Yeah, I think they singled her out after that.
So when's the last time you saw Mama Faye?
2 weeks ago. Lennox went out and visited her. And a couple weeks before that, we had went out with the Eagle, went out and visited her.
Now, have you been in touch with
her? All we did was, she talked about her mail and things she wanted to ensure were being taken care of, and her life outside of jail and friends.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I encourage you to contact authorities to find out just what she's being held for, what she's convicted of, what the length of her sentence is, and what her status is. I mean, if she's being held on a conservatorship, she has the right to a jury trial before she's put on it. And conservatorships last only 1 year, at which point they have to be renewed. So it's good to check the public records and find out what's going on. Sounds questionable.
There's a friend, last week, who's in jail. And he was saying how he was being doped up by the workers there, or whatever, the guards,
mm-hmm.
giving him all kinds of medication. And when he came to jail, he was very depressed. Then he got when he got on the medication, he got even more depressed, and he couldn't sleep on top of it.
Well, I know in Santa Cruz we have an inmate, Chris Brozda, who was arrested on essentially homeless fashion charges,
looking unfashionable in a homeless in a restaurant and things of that sort. And the actual charges, which are 415, disturbing the peace, they held him beyond the two-month period when they have supposed to try him, so the charges are now bogus. And what they tried to do instead was put him in a psychiatric hold. He refused to take the medication in jail, so they put him on 24 in isolation. And then they shipped him over to the psych wards and tried to conserve him, but he beat that with a writ of habeas corpus, which is a procedure by which you apply to court and say, tell me what I'm accused of and let me face a judge. And you can get that writ granted, at least usually. They have to charge you or release you. So Mama Lee can only be held in a psychiatric ward if she is a danger to herself, a danger to others, or gravely disabled. And they tried to do it here by claiming that Chris Brozda, the man being held, was homeless, but that's actually a bogus criterion, since there are plenty of homeless people that are not gravely disabled. So I'd suggest you go back and try to, find out just exactly, specifically, what they're holding her for. And indeed, the psychiatric medication, you're allowed to decline to take medication, and you're allowed to, in fact, they can give you a hearing. They're required, if you're in a psych ward, to give you a hearing called a Reese hearing, in which you have to show that you understand what the medication is for, you understand the side effects, you understand your so-called diagnosis, and you have some specific and clear reasons for declining to take it. It's called the Reese hearing. And it's actually not a judicial hearing, it's a hearing on the ward before an attorney appointed as a part of the mental health system, but it is a formal guarantee under California law. You also have a more formal hearing guaranteed to you if you are having your liberty denied under either a 5150, which is a 72-hour hold, a 5250, which is a 14-day hold, or a 5350, which is a temporary conservatorship. All this, by the way, compliments of George Cavallo, who I interviewed a few days ago and gave me some details I never knew about. We're talking to Charlie of San Jose Food Not Bombs, and I guess Cop Watch. You're a cop watcher as well?
Yeah, we've been kind of forced into all these different functions, not just Food Not Bombs, but people in the park.
Yeah, Cop Watch and Food Not Bombs, I guess certainly Food Not Bombs can again be reached by calling 408-257-9424?
I'm giving his name as kind of a bulletin board director, since I don't have the numbers on me right now. Mm-hmm. And he has the numbers in his house.
And if you have any questions here locally, you can, of course, call 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and I'll be happy to.
If you're ever in San Jose, you can just swing St. James Park and talk to people.
Yeah, go by St. James Park if you're in San Jose. And
involved in what's going on. They know exactly what's going on.
The address of St. James Park, Charlie, is?
Ask for Tina, Luna, Chuck, Norman, or Margaret.
Or a Food Not Bomber, for heaven's sake.
Yeah.
What's the address of the St. James Park?
It's in between 1st and 2nd Street, mm-hmm. St. John and St. James Street.
There you go. Well, is there more you want to add, Charlie, about any upcoming events that we should know about in San Jose?
Well, there's not really. Right now, what we're doing is we're going to see if the Downtown Association is going to live up to their words and if the police are really going to come out to kick us out. This is the second time they've given us this threat, but this time they say it was a final ultimatum, but we'll see. So, Keith McHenry got arrested 500 times, and each one of us are ready to get arrested 500 times, so.
I don't think he was arrested 500 times, but it was certainly more than 120. He got arrested many times, and I've been arrested multiple dozens of times around this kind of stuff.
It's totally ridiculous. We're trying to get some of the food servers that are out there already serving food together, all the food servers together.
Well, good. You should keep us advised if anything is coming down around a particular date. You should know there are demonstrations being planned in Santa Monica and San Diego around Labor Day, on the Labor Day weekend, to protest the harassment of the homeless in Santa Monica by particular police officers, and in San Diego, the crackdown on the 250-person demonstration, which had been going on for 4 months in front of San Diego City Hall. So we'll hopefully keep abreast of what's going on in San Jose, and again, thank you, Charlie, for keeping us advised. And
thank you, Robert.
To the jailhouse.
And that was Charlie of San Jose Food Not Bombs, in an interview conducted about a week ago, well, 2 weeks ago, actually. So you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. We are in the studio still with Norma and Joe talking about the Beach Flats Redevelopment Giveaway, as I call it, that's rushing down the tracks at you on September 15th and 17th, and I guess I'll be a chance to talk about it on Tuesday, on September 8th at the City Council meeting, plus a meeting tomorrow, September 7th, at India Joe's building. I think it's in the Environmental Center there, the Sierra Club Center. It's easy to find. Just wander around, keep looking around. You see a group of alert-looking people all... If you see Canfield being burned in effigy, or perhaps a picture of Scott Kennedy with a line through it, you'll know you're in the right place. In any case, we have been getting some very interesting, an interesting perspective on the whole beach area situation not from some wild-eyed radicals or even some longtime activists, but from some folks who just came here from San Jose. One of them a realtor, Norma, and the other an architect, John, who have been really he came on with a very sympathetic attitude. They originally were not at all hostile to the development, but as they learned more, they became more and more critical. And I guess we've kind of covered a lot of this stuff, and they're kind of looking over the literature now that they brought with them, which is voluminous. And what we're going to try to do now is we're going to get beach area activist Phil Baer on the phone, and Phil has been a loud and clear speaker on this issue at least for the last 2 or 3 months, and probably for the last 5 or 10 years for all I know, and see if we can kind of get some responses from him, some thoughts on this whole situation. And we're going to give these earphones to you so you can hear what's going on.
Hello, Phil.
Hello, Phil.
Okay, hang on.
So we're having a problem.
I'm wondering, what kind of person are you?
I'm a baked potato. Never glass, never pot. I have my goal. I can see.
And why do you talk to me?
Because you asked. Everyone who asked should be answered. Correct?
But mashed potatoes aren't supposed to talk.
I'm not a mashed potato. I'm a regular potato. I haven't been mashed, haven't I? And a mashed potato doesn't live because he's been mashed. Does that answer your question?
I feel something pounding in my head.
Oh, it's my radio voice.
Oh, stop it, please.
Okay. There you go. Feel better?
Coming up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3, Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides, Civil Rights for All You Poor and Homeless Folks, and those of you who like to listen in and see what's happening on the streets. Lots of interviews today, all the way up north to Portland, Oregon, and lots of stuff here from Santa Cruz, so stay with us.
Showing I'm the rhythm, 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 I'm the rh
we didn't start the fire, but we are starting the show. I'm your host, Bathurst Pierre Robert, and with me is our co-host, actually. He came in out of the cold. I don't know how should we introduce you, co-host?
This would be Shaz, the fidget guy, Frank Hazard traffic reporter with live breaking Santa Cruz street news.
Whoa, this is, he's not fidgeting now, I'll tell you. The man is getting his shit together to give it to you straight from Pacific Avenue in the downtown mall. Of course, Bathrop Spears Broadsides is concerned a lot about police conduct and misconduct towards people of an impecunious stature, that is, those without lots of bucks. Those with bucks can buy their own police officers. Although, of course, even if you're middle class, you may find the police giving you a hard time, particularly if you engage in things like, oh, I don't know, medicinal use of marijuana or recreational use of marijuana, and you have to live your whole life in fear that you're going to be arrested, fired from your job, have your driver's license taken away, your car confiscated, and, of course, all these other little obstacles that are put up for you. This, of course, isn't the main focus of this show. This is more... We're talking about people who are actually on the first line of that drug war, on the front line, the people who are homeless and poor, who actually have no privacy to speak of whatsoever. And what little privacy they do have is, of course, removed by caring caretakers like those at Community House, where, for example, this is the new multi-million-dollar program out at the Homeless Community Resource Center. You're not allowed to have visitors in your room. You're not allowed to have a telephone. You are not allowed to, in essence, have sex. I guess you can have solo sex. Boy, am I coming on with a blast of complaints to begin the show with. I think instead what we'll do is we'll start with a little bit on the lighter side from the annals of the Jolly Roger Comedy Troupe up in Berkeley, Free Radio Berkeley's fine, outstanding satirical group. For NPR, that's National Pirate Radio. Let's hear what they did. This is a year or two back, but I think you may still find it amusing.
Welcome to the Sally Sullivan Show, and now here's Sally!
It's wonderful to see you all here, my adoring studio audience. And welcome to all of you watching at home as well. I'm Sally Sullivan, and boy, do we have a fascinating show lined up for you today. Well, privilege, power, that's what it's all about here in America. But most of us never get a chance to experience up close just what it's like to be rich. Well, we're going to change all that for you today. Oh, no, we're not handing out bags of cash, but we are going to give you a rare glimpse into the mind of one of the wealthiest men in the world, who's going to demystify for us just a little bit today the aura surrounding the ruling class of America. Our quest today is Mr. J. Carlisle Rockamorgan, who indeed is one of the wealthiest men in the world, and who has graciously consented today to a rare on-camera interview. I first met Mr. Rockamorgan 2 years ago, and for all his wealth and power, found him to be amazingly warm, open, and frank. And he's agreed to be here today to talk candidly about what rich people really think and what they're really like. You've read about his financial empire in the Wall Street Journal. You saw his Patriot missiles grinding Iraqi cities to rubble. You saw his grandfather's ships carrying armaments to the Germans in World War II. Please welcome, if you will, Mr. J. Carlisle Rockamorgan. Thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure, Sally.
Now, a lot of our viewers have seen movies and TV shows about wealthy people, but few of us have ever had a chance to actually circulate socially in wealthy society. Tell tell us, what do rich people talk about when they get together for dinner?
Well, we discuss a wide variety of topics, Sally. It would not be unusual to discuss stock prices, for instance, or who's got the best Rolls-Royce mechanic. We occasionally venture off into such topics as the inferiority of the lower classes and the purchasing of political favors.
Well, it's very interesting that you mention political favors, and that certainly is a recurring theme we hear so much of. Tell us, do rich people really buy off politicians?
Oh, yes, certainly. It's a time-honored tradition. In fact, it was my great-grandfather, I'm proud to say, who first fashioned the idea of giving equal amounts of cash to both presidential candidates. And look around you today. Who does that now? Virtually everyone. Great-granddad always was a...